All right, so getting Exchange and SharePoint to play together. My name is J. Peter Brazzisi. Let me give you a little bit of an introduction. I said a little introduction, but it's a big slide. So ultimately, I'm a Microsoft MVP. And in addition, I'm also a triple MCSE. They also call them a legacy MCSE, which makes me feel old, so I don't like that. So I just say triple MCSE, MCIT professional for messaging and SharePoint. CompTIA certifications, A+, Network Plus, iNet Plus, and a bunch of others. You know, I'm a big believer in certification. I think it's a great way to spend a lot of money to get a little piece of paper. Other than that, I'm a technical author with, I have over a dozen books to my credit that are sold internationally. I'm a technical speaker, or you hope that I'm a technical speaker at this point. I'm the InfoWorld journalist for the Enterprise Windows column, so perhaps some of you have read some of my columns. And I'm the Exchange and SharePoint Administration Instructor for TrainSignal. I'm also the co-founder of a company called Clip Training, which provides end-user training for Windows and Office through an online portal. Now, TrainSignal was kind enough to provide four courses that I'm going to be raffling away at some point in the middle of the session. And so I have two Exchange courses and two SharePoint courses, because I think the room is probably mixed, and we're going to find out how mixed it is in terms of what it is you're working on. So what we're going to do is, I know there's a lot of you in the room. I have an assistant who's going to be coming around with a little bucket. If you got cards, if you just want to write your name, I don't care. However you want to get your name in there, just throw your name in. And, you know, this way we can do a good raffle at some point toward the middle. Keep it interesting on a Thursday afternoon. Quick poll of the audience here. How many of you are SharePoint administrators? Okay. How many of you are Exchange admins? All right. And how many of you are both? That's interesting. Well, I mean, for those in the front, you couldn't quite see the mix. But, you know, there's far fewer SharePoint admins than Exchange admins, and several that are doing both. You know, I spoke with an Exchange admin just the other day, and I said, so you're an Exchange admin. Do you ever play with SharePoint? And his response was, hell no. And I thought that was interesting because, of course, like, no, I don't play with SharePoint. Okay, but then I asked him, I said, you know, I'm doing a session tomorrow on getting these two to talk to each other and play nice together. Do you find that to be complicated? They're like, I don't even touch it. You know? And so for those of you who are Exchange-oriented in the audience, you know, this is perhaps a stretch to now have to start working with SharePoint and figuring out the whole, you know, connection between SharePoint and Exchange. For those of you who are SharePoint-oriented, you know, the Exchange side is overwhelming as well. And so this is a nice session that kind of blends both of your worlds. And my goal is to be empathetic toward both sides. It's a level 200 session, right? So how many of you have sat in on some of the other Exchange sessions that were level 400 with Scott Schnoll, right? Okay, this is not that, okay? Those sessions hurt your brain by the end of it. That's not what this is about. The goal here is to try to help you to understand what's it going to take to get your SharePoint and Exchange working together depending on your environment. And then we're going to go through some step-by-step demos and just make this as easy as possible. All right? We're not looking to hurt you here. Now, how many are looking to combine Exchange and SharePoint on Small Business Server 2011? Anyone? A couple toward the back? And then I assume the rest of you are looking to do it on SharePoint, SharePoint and Exchange being on separate servers, correct? Right. How many of you have already done it? A couple? Wow, a lot. Wow. Then why are you here? No, I'm just kidding. Maybe just to see if I'm saying what's accurate. So it's a difference between the two. And we need to talk about that. That's really where the excitement and the intrigue is here in this session, is the difference between the way it works on a small business server, where you have everything on one box, and the way it works when you have them separated in a larger environment. And it's really quite a contrast in terms of how you set this up. Now, just to take it from the beginning, Microsoft has been touting the concept of Unified Communications and Collaboration, UCC. Oftentimes, you only hear the first piece of that, right? You only hear the Unified Communications. Even yesterday, we had a roundtable, Unified Communications Roundtable, which typically relates to Exchange, Link, Unified Messaging. And it doesn't quite pull in the SharePoint side. But UCC includes the collaboration. So Exchange provides the communication part, Link provides communication, SharePoint provides that collaboration, and it's at the heart of that UCC effort. Together with Outlook as the client, you have the ability to communicate better and collaborate more easily as a company. It's true. And for those who have avoided the deployment issues altogether and gone with Office 365, perhaps you've also noted that. How many of you have worked with Office 365 at all? Really, not as many as I thought. You know, I love Office 365. I think it's a great solution. I like the price point. I like the features that it provides. I like the fact that it includes Link, which gives me audio and video conferencing features with others in my company. And at the same time, I turned around and I got a Windows phone, which allows me to have a better connection with Office 365. No, I'm not a commercial for Microsoft. I just happen to really like all of these technologies, and I think that they do work well together. Well, the same is true if you're going to set this up in your own environment. You know, you have the ability to utilize Outlook to connect in with your SharePoint as well as within your Exchange organization. The real key is being able to get these to talk together and play nice. Now, if you're using SharePoint within your environment and you haven't integrated Exchange incoming and outgoing email, you're missing features that will benefit your users, and we're going to talk about those features. The features will help with the adoption of SharePoint as well in your environment. For some who have recently deployed SharePoint, they may find that users are initially inclined to, you know, to go there, but they may feel like, after a while, I don't really want to go to the SharePoint site. Ah, that's just too much extra work. And if you have the ability to integrate it so that alerts are sent to Outlook and so that they can post directly to document libraries or lists through email, you might see a better response from your users working with SharePoint without actually having to touch the SharePoint server. The literal integration between SharePoint and Exchange takes place through the configuration of incoming and outgoing email. We're going to take a look at the screen in a moment, you know, the little screen that has those options, and it looks pretty simple. The incoming email configuration allows users to send messages directly to email-enabled lists and libraries, which is great. You know, it gives you an opportunity. You don't even have to go into the, you know, into your browser and start working with SharePoint. You can simply just email directly. In addition, we're going to demonstrate toward the end how we can create contacts that are now within our address list that can now easily be used to locate the list or library that we're looking to post up to and just shoot an email off right to it. You can also include attachments and so on, and all of that goes in as well. The outgoing email can be configured to allow alerts for not only users, but for administrators as well. So the alerts will help users when it comes to tracking items, what's happening with certain items and documents that are in the library. And then when it comes to administrators, it gives them the ability to receive administrative messages from SharePoint. But again, it has to be configured. When we look at the technical side to configuring the link between SharePoint and Exchange, it appears pretty easy. And here, if you just look, it's got a little thing that says configure outgoing email settings, configure incoming email settings, right? It's deceptively simple. It's not quite so simple, though, in real world. And depending on your deployment, there's two different paths that you have to take. So if you have Exchange and SharePoint installed on separate systems, it's a whole, you know, it's one set of configuration, whereas if it's on small business server, it's different. Now, that's a little bit troubling, personally, because first of all, with small business server, have any of you ever worked with a small business server? Right? Okay. You know, it's very wizard-driven, right? And it's meant to be very simple and easy to set up and easy to work with. And so a lot of folks who work with it, they might be IT admins, but perhaps they've never worked with Exchange. Maybe they've never worked with SharePoint. And so now they get a small business server 2011. They get it set up. It's got Exchange. It's got SharePoint. Great. They're going to dive in a little bit. But they're still not looking to be an Exchange or SharePoint admin, per se. Technically, it would be really nice if there was a wizard that just helped them to make these two talk together. Because wouldn't that make sense, that you want your SharePoint and Exchange to work together so that the alerts are already set up, so that you have the ability to post directly to lists and libraries? That should automatically be set up. You would almost assume that it wouldn't even need a wizard, but it would be part of a small business server configuration. Not only is that not the case, but the configuration for it is quite complex. It's complex either way, whether it's separated or whether it's together, but it's so complex on a small business server that if any of you are deploying, you know, the small business server, you're going to definitely appreciate what we're going to talk about here. So you can configure your Exchange and SharePoint to work together in both of these types of environments. Now, one of the differences between the two configuration deployments is that with a traditional deployment, you need to enable the SMTP service on the SharePoint server. Okay, so for those of you who have your Exchange and your SharePoint on separate servers, the first thing you're going to need to do is get SMTP services up and running on that SharePoint server. Otherwise, there's no way for it to communicate with the Exchange server. the Exchange server is ultimately going to treat it as a, you know, a secondary server that it can send and receive email to. And you're going to configure that on the SharePoint side. The difference with Small Business Server is being that you have both on the same box, you don't need SMTP services. Even though when you start up the process and you go to configure it, it says, hey, you need SMTP services. Do not enable SMTP services. You'll break things. Exchange is already on the box, so don't go that extra step. And even though it tells you to, you have to ignore that. We're going to show you a demo of that where you see that we ignore the actual sign. Now, another difference between the two configuration deployments is with a traditional deployment, you need to create send and receive connectors within Exchange. But on the Small Business Server 2011, you need to create a foreign connector using the Exchange Management Shell. How many of you have created foreign connectors before? Right, very few. Right, because we typically don't need to do that. You know, everything is done with send-receive connectors. We do it through the GUI, or you could do it through the Exchange Management Shell, whichever is your poison there. But when it comes to creating this foreign connector, imagine what we're talking about. A Small Business Server IT admin who typically doesn't work with Exchange or SharePoint, now all of a sudden being faced with the task of creating a foreign connector in the Exchange Management Shell. What a stretch, what a leap of their imagination that all of a sudden now they're doing PowerShell and having to do all this extra configuration, and they can't even do it through the GUI. In both cases, however, so those are the differences, but in both cases, there is what's called a drop folder that SharePoint will use for incoming mail so that it retrieves mail from that drop folder. One difference here, though, is that with the SharePoint server that's on its own, when you install the SMTP service, that drop folder is created for you, so it's there. However, being that we said with a Small Business Server, we kind of ignore that SMTP service side, you have to manually create the drop folder and manually create the permission settings in order for SharePoint and Exchange to work with it. So those are the essentials there. Once incoming email is set for the SharePoint server, at that point you can go into document libraries and so forth, and you can now enable it. And it's pretty simple and straightforward once you get to this part, where all you have to do is take the document library and switch it from a no to a yes, put in an email address, and start making some configuration changes. With the outgoing settings, it's actually a little bit better than the incoming settings. There's a lot less to configure. In fact, these are all the configuration settings. Once you have outbound settings configured, then you pretty much just put in the outbound SMTP server, you put in the FQDN there, a from and a reply address, and you're good to go. Send connectors, if you're setting this up in Exchange, the send connectors that you create actually relate to SharePoint incoming settings. Because remember, you're setting up a send connector from Exchange over to SharePoint. So on the SharePoint side, it's incoming. Whereas receive connectors that you set up in Exchange are actually relating to SharePoint's outgoing settings, which are, as you can see, much easier to configure. And then once you have outgoing email set for the SharePoint server, you can use that alert me option on lists and libraries, right? So how many of you, again, how many of you have actually set this up and your people love the fact that they can have the alert me and all these extra things? Do you feel that it helps with the adoption of SharePoint in your environment to have this set up better for them, right? I certainly think so. The big challenge with SharePoint that I found is that as an admin, you might set all of this up, but the training seems to be lacking within organizations. You know, and don't you find that to be true with a lot of other things, right? They're using XP for 10 years. All of a sudden, you go through the process, you get the budget, you get the agreement, you get the systems, because you probably have to upgrade all your systems, and you give a user a new machine, and they curse your name. Because, oh, Windows 7, great, I got to learn something new. And it's like, well, it's been 10 years since you've had to learn something new, so this really shouldn't be that big of a problem for you, you know? And with Windows 7, what's to complain about? There's still a start button in the bottom left-hand corner. I mean, you know, how hard is it? Start, find your program, and go back to work, you know? But people like to complain, and part of it is you've spent all of your budget on new machines and software that you don't have any money left for training. So that's just something that we have to consider, especially with SharePoint, because there's this huge learning curve for folks, you know, to actually be working with something that's quite robust. I mean, if you can see this here, to have users go in and actually choose their alert me and select the list, and you know, it can be a bit overwhelming. So once you have all of this set up, it is recommended that you train your people how to make better use of SharePoint, because you will see that it's adopted more in your environment. One of the challenges I find also with SharePoint, and maybe some of you have noticed this as well, is that SharePoint has so many features that it's hard to know what to enable or disable for folks. So there's this, been this running debate in terms of enabling or disabling some of the social connection features. And if you think about it, how many of you have actually seen where the Outlook, you know, a lot of people just kind of minimize this, but in your Outlook, you have a social connector. Anybody play with that social connector? Have you ever set it up with SharePoint to get it to work? Right? Some of you have. You know, I remember going up to Microsoft, it was about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago when they were first releasing this, and I remember saying to the SharePoint team, I'm not really a big fan of this feature here, social connector in the middle of my Outlook. And the other thing is you have to pick and choose what you're going to connect up with, whether it's, I think there is a Facebook connector, there's a LinkedIn connector, and there's a couple of others. And really, that's when they helped me to appreciate that that thing was really built for the connection to SharePoint. So being able to connect into SharePoint and see what others in your organization are doing and what things they're posting and so on, it builds that community within an organization, which in some places, that's not really what they're looking for. But it seems like more and more people are adopting that. You know, they're understanding that folks are spending a ton of time on social networks. Why not give them a social network at work? It's kind of like fooling them. Like, you know what? You don't need to do Twitter and all these other things and Facebook. You need to be amongst your own friends within your own organization. And so that social connector within Outlook is very helpful in accomplishing that. So all of these features eventually will help your users to become more comfortable with SharePoint and utilize it even more so. Now we're at the point where the rest of the session is primarily a demonstration. The demonstrations are going to be, I'll just go through what the demonstrations are going to include. And I want you to just, you know, see what we're going to cover here. The first part is with Small Business Server. I know that there's not a lot here that are going to be involved with Small Business Server. I want you to see it. It's a 5-6 minute demo that I've pre-recorded, so we'll just work through it. In that demo, we're going to configure incoming email settings in SharePoint. We're going to create a new library that is mail-enabled, and then we'll adjust the settings for that library. We're going to create the drop folder, because again, it's not automatically created for us, as it is going to be in it with the SMTP settings. We'll configure permissions, then we'll use the Exchange Management shell to let Exchange know where that drop folder is, and also create a new foreign connector, which again is something that most of you have never done. We'll test sending an email to that new library. What we won't do, however, is we will not configure the outgoing settings, because it's the same from the SharePoint side, so from the SharePoint Exchange side that we'll demonstrate in the second half of the demo. So we'll demonstrate that completely in the second demo. That's the first demo, which is, you know, like I said, 5 or 6 minutes long. The second one is longer. It's a much longer demo. With SharePoint and Exchange on separate servers, we will install SMTP on the SharePoint server, and we'll make sure that it's configured. We'll create a new send connector in Exchange. We'll create a new organizational unit to demonstrate an added ability with SharePoint Exchange. On SharePoint, we will configure incoming email settings. Then we'll confirm changes that are made to the drop folder. We'll mail enable an existing library named Recipes, and we'll see a new contact result. We'll test sending to the library from Outlook. We'll create a new receive connector on Exchange, and then we will configure outgoing email settings and set an alert and test that it functions properly. Whew, I'm tired just saying all that. Okay, that's what we're going to demonstrate through pre-recorded demonstrations, because it's a lot easier to just record them as opposed to trying to get all this to work in front of a live audience. Anybody see the keynote on Monday? Right? Sometimes demos don't always work out, as you hope. Now, but here's the thing. Before we do all that, I just want to let you know, I know that you're tired. I get that. It's Thursday. I know you're exhausted. It's Thursday afternoon. You know, you need to reserve energy for Universal. What I don't want, however, is for any of you to feel bogged down in the details here. I don't want you to feel like you have to be taking notes, for, you know, feverishly in order to keep up. I don't even want you to feel like if you're, you know, exhausted at some point and you feel like you need to step out or go back to the hotel and take a break, that you're going to miss anything, okay? So what I did was I contacted the folks at TrainSignal, and I said, you know, we have all of this information already in videos that I've done. Is there any way we can make this available to the audience here at TechEd so that they've got what they need in the event that they, you know, so that they don't have to worry too much about taking every last little bit of note and so on? And so what was done was they were put up on the Petrie website. How many of you have ever gone to the Petrie website? You can applaud. I like that. Yeah, everybody applaud. This guy started it. Yeah. All right. The Petri website is just a phenomenal site. It's a great site with tons of content. And here's what the folks at TrainSignal did. The folks at TrainSignal said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put the videos that you created regarding Small Business Server as well as with, you know, incoming, outgoing on separate servers, we're going to put those videos up on the site. But we're going to go one step further. We're going to transcribe the videos word for word. We're going to take snapshots and make arrows and pointers for all the important pieces. And literally, they just mapped out the entire video step by step for you folks so that after the demos are done and you go, oh man, how am I going to remember all those steps? You don't have to remember them. Go to the site. You know, some of you are taking snapshots of the slide, and that's fine. You know, you can simply just also do a Bing search. Notice how I didn't say Google. A Bing search for Petri, and then just, you know, SharePoint email or configure email, SharePoint, you know, configure incoming, outgoing. Okay, so now here's what I know is going to happen. At some point, as you get tired, you're going to start a mass exodus. Before you do that, I was just trying to show respect for your time so that I understand that it may be that you're going to get tired at some point. But before we do that, I'd like to do the raffle. I'd like to give everyone their presents, you know, and then at that point, the rest of the session is going to be demonstration, you know, and talking through the demonstration. So, I've got everybody's cards up here. Let's see who's going to win some training. All right, first person, we have Richard Gore. Who's that? Hey, Richard, would you like Exchange or SharePoint training? Here you go. Let's applaud for Richard. Let's not be bitter. Very good. All right, let's do them all. We're just going to give them all away right here. Let's see. Kevin Fletcher. Where is he? There he is. All right. What would you like, SharePoint or Exchange? Exchange it is. All right, we're down to two SharePoint courses. All right, now I can't ask anymore. It's just going to be SharePoint, whoever wins, so... Sorry. All right, let's see what we got here. I can't really read that. Emery Pelletag, Sait Emery Pelletag. There you go, very good. SharePoint training for you. All right, last one. Come on. I'm trying to get a nice... All right, here we go. Michelle Checky? Hey, congratulations. SharePoint training for you. All right. Very good. So now we've got that out of the way. Now let's switch over to the other system. We're going to start going through demos. Let's see if this works out. How's that? Everybody can see those okay? All right, so I'm going to run through the demo, and we're just going to talk about it as it goes. So for starters, we click Configure Incoming Email Settings. Notice again, it says the SMTP service is not installed, right? Remember I said that this is on a small business server. I'll just set this up. This is a small business server. The first thing you do when you go to configure the settings is it says, hey, the SMTP service is not installed. And then it wants to give you assistance on how to set up that SMTP service. You know, ultimately, you say okay, and you ignore that because we're not going to set that up on our small business server. The next part, we're just enabling incoming email. So... we're basically going to, you know, it says if enabled, SharePoint sites can receive email and store incoming messages in lists. Sites, lists, and groups will need to be configured individually with their own email addresses. So keep that in mind. Sometimes, you know, you might think, okay, I've enabled incoming email. Great, we're good. No, then whoever, maybe you're the site administrator for your organization. How many of you are both the SharePoint admin and the site collection admin? Right? Okay, so you do everything, right? Yeah, unfortunately. So it's like a whole new animal that you've had to learn in order to get working with all this. So ultimately then, you have to now, after you enable this and get it working, you now have to go to each list or library individually and configure that. So we'll show you how to do that in a minute. But it starts here where you click yes, and then you look at the settings. You say, okay, do I want automatic or advanced? You know, you look at the directory management service. You know, pretty much you could leave that off if you're not interested in creating another piece to this. You put in an incoming email display address. I chose company web because that was the name of the web application I was using. And then you give it a drop folder, right? So in this case, I'm just putting it in the default location, which is, you know, the inet pub mail root / /drop. That folder doesn't exist in Small Business Server. Remember, without installing the SMTP service, the folder isn't there. So ultimately, we're going to go in and create that folder. I don't know if you guys can see this. Let me put this full screen here. Here we go. Okay, so essentially, we're going to go in, we're going to create that folder. Now, the challenge here is that we not only have to create the folder, but we also have to give it the permission settings that are necessary in order for this to work. Right? Before we do that, we're going to take a look at the site itself. Company Web is the name of the site. We're going to go to New Document Library, create this document library, and ultimately, there's a little checkbox that you'll see here. We give it a name. I wouldn't recommend you use the same names, but we'll call it Mail-Enabled Library just to, you know, move it along. Give it a description. We can decide if we want to put that document library on the Quick Launch toolbar or not. And for those who are Exchange folks, you're thinking, I don't even know what that is. That's all right. Don't stress too much. It's just part of the configuration. Here's the part that really counts in our case. You know, you're saying, allow this document library to receive mail. Yes. You're going to give it an email address. In this case, Mail-Enabled Library makes it simple, at Company Web. The company web part comes from the incoming settings that we already configured. Then we'll create it. It asks if we want to create a version each time you edit a file. None of that matters at this point. That's all SharePoint stuff that you have to decide later. As far as getting it working, here we're looking at the library itself. It's a new library. We can go to library settings. If we go to library settings, there's incoming email settings that we can choose right there. So even if you haven't mail-enabled a library when you first created it, you can actually go in later and you can mail-enable it. You can see this one's already mail-enabled, but like I said, you can always go back and do it afterwards. And a lot of this is the same process, whether you're on Small Business Server or whether you're using SharePoint and Exchange separately. So you go in. Now you can make decisions, though, that you couldn't make when you created the library. Decisions like email attachments. What would you like to do? Do you want to save all attachments in the root folder? Save all attachments in folders grouped by email subject or by email sender. You know, so it's up to you. None of these settings that I'm clicking here, it was just to show contrast that you can click the buttons and they do work. But ultimately, you can make your own decisions on what you would like to do. Do you want to save the original email, yes or no? So all of this is with the intent that once you're done, folks will be able to email directly to that document library, and it will be able to receive that email because you've configured the settings. Remember, at this point in the demonstration, we haven't even set up the drop folder or the permissions. So we're just configuring things without it actually being able to work just yet. So we're saying we want to accept email from any sender. Sure, because this is a public-facing site, perhaps, and so we want to be able to accept email from whoever. And now at this point, we're going to create that drop folder. So we go to the C drive, inetpub. We create new folder. You guys know how to do this, of course. I don't have to tell you. Although you seem to be laughing about something. Right? Mail root. And you go into the mail root. Now, the only reason I did it, you don't have to do it this way. You can actually just put that drop folder wherever you'd like. You know, I just stuck with the default settings because it makes it easier so that when you do go back and you're looking at, it gives you an example in the box. And it says to put it in this location, so you go, all right, I guess that's where it has to go. It doesn't. You can put it wherever you want. Once we create the drop folder, now we have to go in and we have to actually start messing around with the permission settings. Now, one of the interesting things about putting SharePoint and Exchange on separate boxes and working with it in that environment is sometimes permission settings are configured for you. And that's nice, but with Small Business Server, that's just not the case. So you go in, you set up the permission settings. In this case, we're using the network service. We're giving it full control. Ultimately, what I want you to take away from this part of the demonstration is not so much exactly piece by piece what we're doing. We're setting up authenticated users as well. We're giving access to this drop folder. Why? This drop folder is going to be the location where SharePoint can pick up email. So incoming. Incoming means that Exchange has sent it. And now SharePoint can pick it up from the drop folder, right? So if you are sending an email to a document library, it hits Exchange. Exchange is going to have a send connector. I'm going to stop it here while we're at the Exchange Management shell. Exchange is going to have a send connector, in this case a foreign connector, but it's going to know I have to throw this in the drop folder. And then SharePoint knows to pick it up from that drop folder because we just configured that with the incoming settings, right? You see how it's all connecting? Again, it's a little bit more complicated in Small Business Server because of the Exchange Management Shell side to this. So the Exchange Management Shell side starts with using the get-transport server commandlet. And ultimately, what we're doing is we're going to get it, we're going to set it. We're going to set -transport server -root drop directory and then provide the location of the root drop directory, which ultimately we just created. Anybody, have any of you done this yet? No? You're all very fortunate people. One person? The next part is to use the new -foreign connector commandlet. -name, give it a name, you know, in this case, company web connector, seemed reasonable to me. -address spaces, and then you just put in SMTP, and then you put in the actual name of the web application with a semicolon and a number, and it's just part of the command. You give it a one. As you have additional ones, you would add additional ones. So here we see we've got our connector set up. It's all good to go. There's one more thing that we have to do, though, in configuring this. Set -foreign connector, now that we have it created. And really, all we're looking to do at this point is put in the company web connector name. We're kind of tying this together. -drop directory. And there you go. That pretty much configures the whole process. There you go. We have incoming settings. Now, we didn't do outgoing on this because we're just going to do that with the SharePoint Exchange side. I didn't want to... it's obvious that most of you are looking for the SharePoint Exchange connection. This is just a quick demo on how to do it with Small Business Server. And it shows you something new. I mean, you're here at TechEd. You're learning all sorts of new things. You know, and here you had an opportunity to see something new at Small Business Server that you probably will never, ever use. Right? Okay. It's like a roller coaster, right? You guys feeling it? You feeling the adrenaline rush there? All right, so here's where we're at. We've got our Outlook open, Outlook web app. We're going to send an email. So we're going to send it to the mail-enabled library that we created a moment ago at company web. Right? We put in a subject. It's just a test subject. And I think I even pick an attachment, right? We'll throw an attachment in there. I had no idea where to get one. So there we go. I found one. I had certifications that I was setting up for the server. So I just grabbed one of those documents, a text file, shoot it up, send it over. And of course, I'm going to tell you this honestly. When you first do this, you're going to think, it doesn't work. Because you're going to go into the SharePoint side and it's not going to be there. You got to refresh. You always got to refresh. And you see here, we went in there to the library. We refreshed it. It shows, you know, the email came in. You can see the document is there, right? Everything worked out just fine. So our incoming settings are configured correctly on the Small Business Server. Applause now. Woo! All right. Just helping you guys out there a little bit. Okay. So that's the first part of things, right? Let me spin up the next one. Let's just talk briefly about what we just did. So in that last demonstration, you had an opportunity to see that the SMTP services are not installed and you don't want them installed. You had a chance to see that the settings for incoming mail, that's going to be the same here, that you can configure it, but that's not enough. You have to go to each list and library and enable it on those lists and libraries specifically and provide a specific email address so that you have some way of actually emailing that list or library. Otherwise, it's sort of a waste. You're also able to see that once that's configured and set up, with Small Business Server, we have to create the drop folder, we have to set up the permissions for authenticated users and so on, and then we have to supply all of that information into the new foreign connector that is created through the Exchange Management Shell. Okay, let's cap that. Now we're moving forward. Now we have SharePoint and Exchange on separate boxes, which is what most of you are dealing with in your environment. So this is a little bit more appropriate. You know, the good news is we have plenty of time, so don't worry. In this part of the demonstration, we're starting off on the SharePoint server itself. Let me move the mouse out of the way so you don't see two mouses Two mouses, mice? Yeah, there we go. We're going to go to features. And on the SharePoint server, yes, we are going to, in this case, enable the SMTP service. Right? So totally different setup. On your SharePoint server, you go in, you start with SMTP services, and this is what's going to be used to talk to your Exchange server. Right? So it's the essential piece, really. You set it up, you go through the little wizard, through the server manager roles and features. There you go. It's all installed. And you know what? Yes, I did use my ability with Camtasia to cut some time out of this to kind of move it along. So once we have that set up, the SMTP services, the next part of this is you're going to actually take a look at your Internet Information Services tools. You're going to go to your IIS Manager 6.0. Not 6.0. You're going to go to your IIS Manager, and you're going to take a look at the 6.0. Now, here's the thing. You might not have those tools installed. If you don't have them installed, you go back to roles and features and you install them because it's easier to see your SMTP services through there. So go back. In this case, I have them installed. But if you didn't have them installed, just go back into your roles and features and install that for your IIS service. Right? So once you've got that and you're sure that everything is good, go back to your administrative tools and go in there. This part of the demo may seem a little bit tedious, because we're just going to go through each of the tabs for your SMTP service. So once you open that up and you expand out your SharePoint server, you see SMTP virtual server. Ultimately, there's a couple of little things you want to take note of. You go to the properties of the virtual server, and one thing is if you're having trouble, you can enable logging. Right? You see that down at the bottom? So this is where you would do it from. A lot of times folks don't know where they enable logging when they're having SMTP services, you know, difficulty. But enable the logging so that you can get more information back. Other than that, for the most part, you see a lot of tabs here. Have any of you ever played around with installing SMTP services on a server before? Right? Okay, good. So you've seen some of this. So there's a lot of different tabs. You have an authentication tab, which you want to make sure is set to anonymous access. Now, the reason why I'm going through this is because sometimes you're not the person who's actually done the installation of the service, or maybe you know somehow or another you're going in there to see why there's a problem, and someone else says, "Yo, I already set this up, but it's just not working." You want to go through the tabs here to make sure it's set up properly. So you go into access, you go to authentication, and you make sure that it's anonymous access. Under all the other settings, the connection settings, you know, there typically should be nothing in here unless you have a reason to have specific servers that can access the virtual server. You know, so you want to look to see that the defaults are there before you start troubleshooting and finding out, you know, if there's other problems. If there's relay restrictions, just make sure that there's nothing quirky going on in there. Notice it says allow all computers which successfully authenticate to relay regardless of the list above. That's all the default settings. I didn't make any changes to the settings. Here are some areas where you might want to make some changes, though. You can limit message size on that SMTP server. Session size, number of messages per connection, number of recipients per message. I mean, this is up to you. You have the ability to do that. Remember, SharePoint is going to be using this SMTP service in order to connect with your Exchange server. On the Exchange side, you're going to set up a receive connector so that it works back and forth with just the SharePoint server here. Delivery information, so you can set up outbound, first try intervals, second try intervals, and so on. All of this is configurable. I typically recommend that you don't change any of these settings and just get it to work first. And then if you want to go back and make some tweaks, that's up to you. You see here the security setup, the local service, the network service, right? The permissions are already configured, actually. And that's nice. Once you set up the SMTP services, you don't have to create a drop folder, and you don't have to configure the permissions. It's already taken care of. We're going to take a look at it anyway, but you know, it's just nice to have that. You can click through and see some of the other information, like domains. You can see current sessions and so on. But your hope is never to have to go back into here again. You know, it does show the drop directory, which, again, is the default location, the INET pub mail route drop. You know, you're certainly welcome to adjust that and change it if you want. And it's supposed to transition now. Okay, there we go. So let's take a look at this point at services. One of the things you're going to have to change is the service itself is set to manual, and it should be set to automatic. So if you go over to your Simple Mail Transfer Protocol, your SMTP service, it started, but it's set to manual. So you're going to want to go in and change that and make that automatic. Not a big deal, easy to do. It's just one of those steps that you forget. So that's what's nice about having this all mapped out. You'll be able to find all that on Petri. Once you're done there, you've got your SMTP services set up, you've got your service set to manual. At this point, your SharePoint side is pretty much covered in that respect. So let's switch back over to the Exchange server. One of the differences, again, with Small Business Server is everything's on one box. But in this case, you're going to have to switch over to your Exchange server. And you can see that we have a few different users that are already created. We go to our Hub Transport under the Organization Configuration node. Now, it's interesting that we actually take care of our send connector settings from the Hub Transport under Organization Configuration, but the receive connector information we're going to cover under Server Configuration for Hub Transport. So we go to the Send Connectors tab. We see there's nothing there to start with. This is just a default. I know I didn't even create the initial Send Connector for or create a connection to an Edge Transport server. My main goal here was to set up a demonstration to work with SharePoint. Ordinarily, you would see other Send Connectors there, you know, like your Star Connector that sends things right out to the internet or a connector that sends to the Edge Transport server. So we're just going to create a new Send Connector. In this case, we called it SharePoint 2010 Incoming. We're selecting the intended use. We chose internal. The address space itself, in this case, you click Add, and you put in the address of the SharePoint server. You're pretty much saying, send it off to the SharePoint server. You'll notice something. One of the things I like to do is I like to alternate sometimes between FQDNs and IP addresses just so that there's a mixture of both. You're covered, you know, in both cases. In this case, we use the FQDN. And here we see route mail through the following smart host. In this case, we're not using DNSMX records. We're not going to the internet. It's an internal connection. So in this case, I'm throwing in the IP address instead of the FQDN. I don't know if that's just a personal thing or if it's just something that if maybe others do that as well. I like to be covered. Now you have authentication. You can see here you can have none, basic authentication, Exchange server authentication, and so on. For the sake of the demo, we just put none. And then you should see your source server, your Exchange server, in that last part, and then there's your configuration. You click New, and it should create the new send connector. And you always like to see that little green check mark at the end. So there's our send connector. So now we jump over to our domain controller. Now this step is an extra step, just to make things, like I said, a roller coaster. This is just wild. We're going to do something really wild here. We're going to create an organizational unit. No, that's it. I didn't have more to that. We're just going to create an organizational unit. The whys of it, woohoo, yeah, that's it. That's it. This is this crowd. This is the Thursday afternoon crowd. You guys are there. That's crazy stuff we're doing. Why are we creating an organizational unit? Well, okay. Let me give you a quick little... I'll just stop this for a second. Let me give you the background here. So the organization, the SharePoint organization, is called Carved Rock Fitness. Personally, when I'm doing something, I need a scenario. I need something in my head to help me to explain why am I doing what I'm doing, especially if it's a lab situation or if I'm creating training. And so my scenario here was... A company that creates all sorts of training products, whether it's, you know, weights or whether it's workout equipment. And in, as you'll see here, they're also creating a line of thinning food products, right? So there's all sorts of recipes that they're kicking around for low calories and so on. So I had this idea in my head. They're called Carved Rock Fitness. And the idea here is that when we create the incoming settings for the SharePoint side, we want there to have a connection made. We want that to go into SharePoint contacts so that users can search for it in the address list and they don't have to just remember where they're sending things to. So how do you do that? Well, it starts with just simply creating the organizational unit itself, because you're going to see that at some point in the configuration settings, it asks us You know, and we saw this with the small business server, but we skipped it because we wanted to do it over here. It asks us how we want to set things up, and do we want to have that type of delegation. This is the delegation of control wizard. We're pretty much just going to, you know, set up our situation so that we have authentication here on the organizational unit. There we go. So the SP admin, in this case, because the SP admin is also the site collection admin and pretty much everything, we're just setting up authentication for just the one user account. Obviously, you know, what we're saying here is that this administrator has the ability to create objects within that organizational unit. So we choose create custom task, we click next. We leave this folder, existing objects in this folder, and creation of new objects in this folder, click next. And ultimately, we're going to leave general and click creation, deletion of specific child objects, because we are going to create child objects into this organizational unit. And we're going to choose create all child objects, delete all child objects, and click next. And finish. Okay, so now that we've created an organizational unit, this is just to give us a place to actually point off towards in our settings in SharePoint. We see it's there. If we go back to the settings there, we click advanced, you can see all of the different permissions that are already there, SP admin. I can't remember at this point why I added that extra little delete subtree, but it's there now. So now we swing over to our SharePoint server, and at this point, we're going to open up PowerShell. How many of you love PowerShell? How many of you are raising your hands right now simply because you're here and you know that everyone's looking at you, right? Like, I love PowerShell, sure. Yeah, stupid, stupid PowerShell. No, you know, look, the honest truth of the matter is that it's not 2007 anymore, right? Exchange 2007, you had your chance to complain about PowerShell. Hopefully you got it out of your system. All right, come on, it's 2012. The thing's not going away. There's 2,000 commands now in Server 2000 and commandlets in 2012. Woohoo! And even more with Exchange. So it's not going anywhere. It's time to embrace it. Let's just embrace it, move forward with it. There's a lot of cool stuff that we can do with it. In this case, I'm doing something maybe you've never done before. Maybe you've never seen this before. I'm just resetting IIS using PowerShell. Yeah, look at that. Attempting stop, stopped successfully, and restarted. There you go. See, this afternoon wasn't a waste. At that point, once we get that all set up there, then we can go into our central administration. And again, in trying to be empathetic, for those of you who are Exchange admins to start with, the fact that you've come a long way and have had to learn SharePoint and, you know, even want to sit in on a session like this where now you have to get these to play together, it's a lot. There's a lot going on here if you've never really worked with it before. Central administration, of course, is your main point there for system settings. You go in there. You configure your incoming email settings. You can configure mobile accounts and so on. If we go into our incoming email settings, this is just like it was on the small business server. Now that we have all that set up with the drop folder and we have the permissions and so on, so we click enable sites on this server to receive email. Yes. Right? In this case, we can choose a settings mode, automatic or advanced. It doesn't really matter. The directory management service, do we want to use the SharePoint directory management service to create distribution groups and contacts? In this case, we're saying yes, right? So notice that. We said yes, and it opened up a whole new list of things here, starting with, it says, the Active Directory container where new distribution groups and contacts will be created. Hey, guess what? That's the whole reason why we created that organizational unit. It wasn't just to have a little fun with you there. So now we have OU equals SP contacts, comma, DC equals Carved Rock Fitness. And you don't have to do this. It's not like it's essential. It's just an extra little piece to this that kind of makes things work a little bit better so that it becomes a contact in your Exchange environment. So we put in the DC equals COM. We look at the SMTP mail server for incoming mail. It's our crfsharepoint.carvedrockfitness.com. Accept messages from authenticated users only. I chose no. It's a public-facing site. We kind of want to let all users be able to send messages. Allow creation of distribution groups from SharePoint sites. I chose no in this case. But again, depending on your settings, it's up to you. And at that point, you look down. A lot of the other settings are the same as far as the incoming email server display address. You know, you're welcome to adjust that. And then your safe email servers, as far as do you accept mail from all email servers or, you know, just from these safe email servers. You know, the interesting thing here is that at this point, there's only one server that has a send connector pointing off to your SharePoint server. So you're pretty much good to go. We go back to computer. We're going to take a look at that inetpub, the mail root drop folder. Because remember, we did not do anything here. We installed SMTP services, and yet here's the drop folder. It created this for us. And as you scroll down, you can see that it already has a couple of interesting permission groups in there. And they're already set up. So you've got your SharePoint WSS admin WPG, and you see it's given full control. And then you've got your WSS underscore WPG, which is given partial control. So all of that is just configured for you behind the scenes. You don't have to worry about it. And typically, it's set up, you know, the one thing you do have to worry about is if it's not working, you should at least double check to see if your drop folder has those permission settings there. If not, then uninstall the SMTP service, reinstall it, make sure that those two different settings are there and that they're configured properly with permissions. It has happened to me in the past where, for some reason or other, I installed SMTP and they were missing. So go back in and make sure. All right, so now we're going to go to an existing library. We have this recipes library that has been created, and ultimately the goal here is to add new recipes that should be, you know, calorie free. We can do it through the library itself. Our users can actually, you know, they can go in here and they can do this if they want, but we want them to be able to, while they're working, while they're thinking, hey, I thought of a new recipe, I'm just going to email that to the recipe document library here. So ultimately, to do that, it's just like we did in the last one. We go into the library settings. We go to the incoming email settings. We change the top from no to yes and give it an email address. Easy enough. It's called recipes, so we might as well just call it recipes in the email address itself. So now recipes at crfsharepoint.carvedrockfitness.com will be this email address that folks can use. We can set up the attachments thing. Do we want to set up attachments? Do we want them to accept attachments in the root folder or have them grouped by email subject or sender? Do we want to overwrite files with the same name? Again, these are decisions that you make on your front. We're not going to demonstrate each and every little step. Do we want to save the original email, save meeting invitations, and how do we want our email security policy? So in this case, you know, you can set it up where accept email messages based on document library permissions or accept from any sender. In this case, you know, a lot of times you might want to send it by document library permissions, but in this case, we want it from any sender because, hey, we're an open company. If you have a recipe idea for low-calorie pizza, we want you to be able to email that document library. So that's why we chose the second one, accept email messages from any sender. Unless, you know, if it's a different type of document library, you might not want that at all. All right, so now that's set up, we're going to flip back to our domain controller. We know we've got the SP contacts, and you can see there, here, it created the contact for us. Recipes. There it is. Right? So that's why we did that. It gives you a little extra out of this as far as what that extra component is for. It'll save you the step, and now that contact is in Active Directory. It's just a contact. So all it's really for is so that it can be part of the address list, which we'll flip back over to Exchange. Right now we're on the CRF Exchange server, and we're going to take a look at Exchange, and you'll see that if we look under recipient configuration, right, we have some users in there. We don't see that contact, but of course not. It's because it's under mail contact, and there you see. We have the alias recipes there. It was all done for us, right? So by setting that up and doing it and knowing how this is all working together, you have the ability to kind of make a few shortcuts here. Personally, I'm an Exchange MVP. I'm not a super SharePoint guru MVP, but I like these shortcuts that I can do in an environment where I have to work with the two together. So now I go in, and I've got my message, I'm looking at Outlook, and I'm just going to send an email off to recipes@serifsharepoint just to see if it works. I've seen this movie before, so I kind of know how it ends. You know? I know you're all sitting there going, is it going to work? I don't know. Do you think it's going to work? I don't know. Right? But you see, I kind of know it's already going to work. That's why I'm very calm. Of course, it'd be very funny right now if my screen blue screens, and then you go, look what arrogance gets you, right? All right, so I sent a recipe thing into that document library, and of course it doesn't show up. Like I said, SharePoint's all about the refresh. Hit refresh, there it is. Everything's working. And you can see that it has both the document I sent as well as the email itself that we sent. So, there you go. There you go. Woohoo! Yeah! But wait, there's more. Because now we have to create that, the receive connector. We go back to Exchange, right? We've got everything working great with the send connector. We love that. We go back over. We look under server configuration. We go to our hub transport. And now we're going to create that receive connector. This is the easier part to the deal, but we're still going to go through the whole process so that you get to see it. So we look. We see we've got the two default ones. We click New Receive Connector. We go in. We give it a name, SharePoint Outgoing. Sometimes that confuses people. The Receive Connector connects to the SharePoint Outgoing. The Send Connector connects to the SharePoint Incoming, right? Just kind of get that there. It's a custom one. We look through. We add the we edit the IP addresses to receive mail. And basically, you're putting in the IP address of, I'm sorry. We just said, hey, I'm going ahead of my own demo here. Okay, so here's where we put in the IP address of the SharePoint server itself so that it knows what the remote server is. So basically, you know, it's giving it a little extra security here. We don't actually configure additional security settings. In fact, we configure the permissions to be very lax in this case. But we're saying we want to receive mail from that SharePoint server. And because we have SMTP services set up on it, it's going to be able to send us that mail. In this case, the start and end address is the same. We could just put 201 there. I put 255 just to give it a long range. But you could just have it be the start and end address be the same address. We click New. And we have the settings. Now, that's not the end of it. We have to now go back in, and we have to look at the permissions and the authentication there. So we go to Permission Groups, and we want to allow anonymous users. Now, maybe you don't. You know, this is something that you have to work out in your own environment. In this case, just to get it working, anonymous users so that we weren't caring so much who was sending the mail. And once you have that receive connector in place, we can go back over to our SharePoint side. I didn't put a nice transition on that one. But we're back on the SharePoint side now at this point, and we're going to go back to system settings. We're going to go back to configure outgoing email settings. And ultimately, there's nothing there. We're going to put in the outbound SMTP server. crfexchange.carvedrockfitness.com. We provide a from address and a reply to address. Now, there's something about this, you know, the from and the reply to address. I mean, they can be different. They can be the same. It doesn't matter. You don't actually have to have a mailbox for this. These could be bogus addresses, in other words. Sometimes folks like to do that. They like to let it just be bogus addresses because they don't want anybody to reply back. You know, they don't want a reply back type of piece. And other times, you can create a mailbox for those addresses themselves. Or in this case, it just uses the administrator mailbox. So once those settings are configured, you go back into your SharePoint environment. In this case, we're going to go to meal plans. Right? Again, you can see now we have a couple of meal plans there, thin crust pizza, white chocolate candy bar, right? And we're going to set an alert on this list because I want to be notified, you know, when this list has been updated. So you set the alert. And again, this is where training comes in. You have to make sure your users know how to do these kinds of things, right? And we have it set for if anything changes, right? You can see that there. I want to be notified if anything changes, not just if someone changes an item or if someone else changes an item created by me or if someone else changes an item modified by me. I want anything that changes in there. And I want it to send the notification immediately as opposed to a daily summary or a weekly summary. But again, you can see the flexibility here. You can set these alerts up in a lot of different ways. So we've configured this. Now I've got an alert configured. So if anything changes, and it says you've successfully created an alert for meal plans. Woohoo. So now if anything changes there, then I'm going to want to be notified. Oh, you can see it immediately sends an email, which is a good sign, that you have an alert configured on this. So if anything does change, it's going to let me know. All right, so let's make a change. We go back to the list itself. This is just a list, by the way. It's not a library. We go back to the list, and we see there's really not much to it. And we're going to add a new item. Hamburger, 200 calories, right? I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know if 200 calories is good or bad, right? It's set up for dinner, you know, and this is all stuff that you have to configure when you create your own list and things. So boom, we have a new hamburger item added there that's only 200 calories. You know, this is going to be something that everybody's going to really want at some point. And now we go back to our Outlook and look at that. We were alerted that there's a new item. It gives us the information there. Yes, applause now. Yep. There you go. There you go. And that's pretty much it. I mean, that's the settings there. There's one more thing I want to show you. One more little thing. If you go to Manage Web Applications, right, that was a little fast. Basically, what we just did was we went to Manage Web Applications. There's one more piece to this. It's for the administrative alerts, because those alerts are what users can configure, but we want to look at the administrative alerts. So here we pick one web application, we click General Settings, and you'll notice that there's an outgoing email option. When you click the outgoing email option, it's already populated with the information that we configured in our outgoing email settings. But we can change this if we'd like. So that's the only other thing I wanted to show you, is that it will automatically embrace those settings, but you can go in and you can change them if you prefer. And those are our demonstrations. That demonstrates the whole process. We have about 11 minutes to go. Let me just summarize here the process. Again, all of this, everything we discussed, the demonstrations, the videos, everything is on the Petri website. So hopefully you get a chance to check that out. In summary, having SharePoint integrated with incoming email through Exchange will assist in moving away from public folders. It's something Microsoft has been encouraging for a while, because messages can be sent to lists and libraries rather than to public folders. Now, when we do a Q&A, if you start asking me what's the best way to migrate from my public folder store over to SharePoint, I don't have enough time for that discussion. You know, there are a lot of different ways to do it, and the easiest way is the most expensive way, and that's to pick up a very expensive migration tool. The other ways are cheaper, but they're certainly a lot more complex. So that's a different discussion. But it is nice to have this ability, because you can utilize it to migrate away from public folders. Having SharePoint integrated with outgoing email will allow the tracking of items, whether it's lists, libraries, and documents, as well as assisting administrators with messages regarding storage limitations being exceeded, and so on. So that connection, getting these two to play together, it's almost a no-brainer. And the hope is, of course, that with future releases of Exchange, SharePoint, and so on, that these will integrate even more together, and we'll see it maybe perhaps be a little bit easier to set up as well. So at this point, that's the conclusion of our discussion today. If you want to contact me, there's a couple of different ways you can get a hold of me. I have a couple of different email addresses. I'm on Twitter at jpbrazizi.com, at jpbrazizi. InfoWorld Enterprise Windows column, you're welcome to check it out. It's infoworld.com, Microsoft-Windows/blog. There's a bunch of other slides they make you go through, so let me just go through all the different slides here. The resources slide, which you guys have seen. I believe this whole session, the slides and everything, should be online, so you're welcome to get those slides. And with those slides, you'll have the links, too, for the Petri site links that I have. Complete an evaluation on ComNet and enter to win. Yes, it is essential. It's so essential for you guys to do this, really. I mean, with the Microsoft instructors, they obviously want you to do it. But even more so for those of us who aren't, working directly with Microsoft, the question is, hey, do we ever want this guy to come back and speak again? Right? Now, if your answer is no, don't fill out an evaluation. It's okay. Your time is precious. You're busy. Right? if your answer is yes, make that be known. Let them know, yes, we would like to hear from them again, you know, and then perhaps we'll see you in the future. One other thing, I know you've heard it before from the exchange sessions. It's very important to mention it again. MEC. MEC is back. How many of you are planning on coming to MEC? Right? Okay, wow, I really want to see a lot more hands than that, you know? Yeah, I know. I know it's expensive. I know. But, you know, your companies are filled with money. Just go and ask for it, and they'll give it to you. All right, and that's pretty much it. I hope you enjoyed the session, and have a good time tonight in Universal.